Welcome back, Icon family. Like, share, comment, subscribe, all that good stuff. Check out IconBros.com, IconBros on Instagram, IconBros on Twitter, IconBros2 on TikTok. And then patrons, thank you guys once again. We greatly appreciate it. We greatly appreciate the support, guys. If you want to join our Patreon, it's patreon.com/IconBros. Me and Juan will do a 30-minute podcast, audio podcast there every week. We also have Discord access as well. And then some other things, hopefully here and there as we move along. And yeah.
And I promise you, there's no Discord in our Discord.
Brilliant joke.
Anyway, folks.
Anyway, yes.
Anyway, hopefully that made you laugh and you're like, okay, you know what? Maybe we'll give these guys a try.
Or we lost patrons. Yeah.
No, well, I'm saying new listeners, for those of you that might be joining us because maybe you're out there searching the internets. Mm-hmm. And you haven't really found a distinction between, you know, maybe should I take the physics route or the engineering route?
Right.
You know?
It's a big choice. An important choice.
Yeah.
One I've contemplated myself.
This is literally...
I mean, you have too, I'm sure, right?
Yeah. As for some of you that don't know and are new listeners, me and Terrence and I, you know, this whole channel is us two physics guys, mm-hmm. you know, doing the whole physics thing, covering physics subjects. And so we thought, mm-hmm. hey, you know, maybe this is like application cycles like about to come to an end. And some right. people are making some really important life decisions.
Indeed. Indeed.
That are going to be very last.
Well, don't scare them too
okay,
much because
right,
they're
right.
not, you know.
You're probably young. So, you yeah. know, hopefully this will be informative
don't get,
and useful.
Don't get scared away.
Yeah.
You know.
You know, hopefully you'll find this very useful and interesting.
Especially if you're American, this is the land of opportunity. You can always switch around and do what you want.
Very
you know?
True. If you're from a European country,
good luck.
It's too late for you.
Yeah.
Run.
No, just kidding.
Just kidding. But anyway, so we decided we're going to use MIT's. What was it? Catalog? Is it the course
yeah,
catalog?
Yeah, course right? catalog, I guess they call it.
Yeah, so if you're an undergrad, you probably already saw the course catalog. If you're applying to schools, you probably already, or should have probably already looked at their course catalog for what their program looks like. I mean, I right. certainly did. Did you?
For the schools I was like, applying to for undergraduate?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, I didn't either. But should
for
I
undergraduate,
have?
I didn't give a shit as much.
But should I have? Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was not a good student for a very long
well,
time.
Well, knowing what you know now, would you recommend it?
Yes. Yeah, yeah I would. Yeah. I would.
And that's because you get to see the rigor of the program. Yeah. And that's one of the reasons why you would want to see if engineering or physics is the route. Because, you know, physics has a lot of math. And we will compare it to yeah. engineering and see what it looks like. So out of all the engineering, we have aerospace engineering, and we're going to focus mm-hmm. on more of the closest to physics.
Yeah.
Aerospace, what else do we see here? We have computer science and engineering, mm-hmm. electrical engineering.
Classic.
Yeah. Classic engineering, just regular engineering. Mm-hmm. And
material science engineering.
Exactly, yeah. And then mechanical mm-hmm. and then nuclear science and engineering. Mm. So quite a number of engineering.
Yeah.
How come they don't have different kinds of physics, Terrence? No, they actually do.
Well, they do. It's just that we don't get that much of a
in undergrad,
branching
no.
effect.
By the way, in undergrad, you won't see this kind of differentiation. There's not degrees in
physics?
Yeah, in physics.
No.
There's just one
yeah, technically,
physics.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting, yeah, that people may not know is in technically, yeah, an undergraduate, you're really just all general physics, but that's not really in reality because if you're doing research, like I did research in undergraduate, I was kind of already in condensed matter at that point, mm-hmm. but it was unofficial or off the table, you know, it was like not like part of my title, like in graduate school where I was a condensed matter physicist.
Yeah, same here. I yeah. took like classes in SEM stuff, TEM. Like, I took a microscopy class. So,
but you also did research in condensed matter? Or, mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, yeah,
yeah. yeah.
So we
thing,
were like already in that path, even undergraduate.
Exactly. Yeah. But you'll still have the title as physics, like physics undergrad. You that's kind of the point we're making. In physics, there's no differentiation just yet. Mm-hmm. And if there is a differentiation, it'll probably be thrown under the umbrella of applied physics.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Or the other one for my school was also physics instruction. Or like physics education.
Oh, physics education. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right. True.
They had a specialized track.
Right. There's also astronomy.
Yeah, that's true.
That has its own course, which some people might not consider physics, but a lot of departments just lump them together anyway. Yeah. So if you're a physics major, you're and are only focused in astronomy, your mm-hmm. courses might look different. So
yeah,
just so
they'll diverge a little bit, but you're still taking all the same physics courses that any general degree is going to take.
Yeah. So which
the
one,
core at least?
Yeah. So which one do you want to dive into first? We should to compare. Should we
just go down the list?
Aerospace.
Yeah. A.
A is for aerospace.
Yeah. So we have put this over here. So once again, folks, this is MIT's page, but they have the core classes, and this goes into computer science and programming in Python, and this is something that you're not going to get in physics, I will say.
Well, you don't. It's
I don't know.
It seems like it's not usually required.
No, it's not.
Which you would think it is. Which kind of shocked me as well when I switched to physics, because when I switched to physics, I already knew programming and I already took formal programming classes as well. But for some reason, this day and age, they still don't have like a mandatory programming track for physicists most places. Like when I got into graduate school, a lot of the graduate students didn't know programming. I'm like, damn, you guys don't know one language? Which is kind of shocking to me because, I mean, like modern stuff is all computers, right?
Yeah.
And you're going to use programming in any physics pretty much you're going to do, but for some reason they don't teach it formally.
No, they don't.
Kind of odd.
You kind of learn as you go, like with anything in physics.
Yeah.
I think it's like...
But there was the opportunity to do it as an elective at my school, which I did as well.
So part of our... Well, part of my core in my undergraduate, we did have to take a computer science class, but it was part of the science department's core curriculum. But you could take any actually, no, you couldn't take any because the physics department had a class, but they taught Fortran, of all things.
But that's because physicists actually use Fortran.
So, by the way, if you're an engineer, Python, beautiful. Like, it's going to have much more, it has more universality than Fortran, in my opinion.
Yeah. Fortran is straight up for physicists, pretty much.
Yeah. So if you decide to fail out of physics or just quit, Fortran ain't going to get you jobs. So I'll say.
It can. Really? They actually use it, in some places, but it is old as hell. So
I was just saying, engineering wins on the programming side, I will say.
Yeah. And Python also is a big one for machine learning these days.
100%.
Seems like everybody and their mother does machine learning with Python. Mm-hmm. So that's also a big plus. If you know Python, then you can pivot to machine learning if that's of interest to you as well.
100%. There's also introduction to computational thinking and data science, which that is not really part of a curriculum. In physics, it's probably lumped into computer science into computer science course or elective.
I think we had a couple computational physics courses, though.
Offered?
In our graduate program.
I took MATLAB. I skipped the Fortran. I said, can I just take MATLAB? It's at least a little more useful.
Yeah, people use MATLAB in industry.
Yeah, but... But I guess they also have materials and structures, signals and systems, fluid dynamics, thermodynamics, and propulsion. Those are the four, they call them engineering core classes.
And this is for the aerospace degree, right?
Yeah. But that on its own seems kind of, it's interesting because it's fluid dynamics could be its own physics class, really.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So... But you will not get that in a physics core. But
no, you don't get fluid dynamics separately in physics.
And you do get thermodynamics, but you don't get thermodynamics and propulsion.
Right. So it sounds like their thermodynamics has the application of propulsion.
Yeah.
So you're going to be doing, you know, momentum changing with the mass changing.
Yeah, which, you know, in physics, you're literally presented a problem, like an escape orbit problem.
Yeah, yeah, but it's real simple, right?
Very
rudimentary.
But there's also dynamics, which has some whatever crossover to physics, because dynamics is equations of motion. It's like it's physics.
Sounds almost too bare bones. I don't even know what that means, because all physics is dynamics. Yeah. It's like kinematics, dynamics. That's like all physics.
No, that is the analog. Dynamics would be what physicists take is classical mechanics.
Right.
That's our technically
forces,
our dynamics.
Stuff.
Yeah, our dynamics course. Mm-hmm. They also take a statistics and probability class.
Right.
And they have to take an introduction to probability class, which is or it's either or, and then finally differential equations.
Right. That's a huge one in physics.
But they only have to take one in engineering, which is interesting.
I only took one differential equation as well. Or you mean partial differential equations?
No, differential equations. I took two.
Oh, I didn't. It just depends on your school, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so.
Because differential equations, I could see why you would do two, because there's so many different ways. Like, basically, the differential equations course, at least the physics one and math one, was just techniques for solving all the different types of differential equations.
Yeah,
I don't really see you needing two courses, because it just means you're going to learn more techniques, right?
Mm-hmm.
Once you've got a few of them under your belt, it's like, okay, I get it. I'll use MATLAB or Wolfram in the future. Because nobody's solving these by hand, really. I mean, you will, but if you're actually doing research, you're not going to do it again.
Yeah, that's where definitely part two is the fringe case stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, because you had, that's when you dealt with sort of, what is it called? Stochastic systems. Non-stochastic was differential equations one.
And nonlinear differential equations?
Yeah, nonlinear.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you deal with, in differential equations two, I think you're introduced to more chaotic systems or how you handle second order, third order effects and stuff. Really cool.
Yeah,
stuff.
It's all well and good, but I'm glad I didn't have a second one. It's like I can just do that on Wolfram.
Right. But that's pretty much it for the aerospace one, and then you get into aerodynamics, structural mechanics.
These are actually the actual aerospace classes here,
pretty much. You have to take a robotics class, flight development system. Yeah, it's a whole thing, but you obviously take some applied stuff for aerospace, but...
Yeah, we actually had a guy in my school who was a physicist who actually went aerospace engineering after his physics degree. So, you know, that's the interesting thing about engineering and physics is they're so aligned in so many ways that you actually can sometimes get a degree in one or the other and then go in the opposite way. Like if you get engineering, you can sometimes go to agree to like a graduate school program in physics. We had a guy like that.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you can either go start physics and then go towards the engineering side. So, you know, there's a lot of play. And especially if you have certain classes that kind of align more with whatever the area you're shifting over towards, that helps a lot.
Yep, definitely. And I mean, they have, I knew, well, we had a guy on the show that I think was, shout out to Jesse, guest of the show way back in the day, but he was doing physics and aerospace at some point. He was like, yeah, I want to be an aerospace engineer. I'm like, damn, bro, you're doing too much. but no, he was also bright-eyed and bushy-tailed in that way,
right?
And he forewent all that and just decided to do math. But just because the impression that he got, I think actually he would have been the perfect viewer for this, because then he could see which way he really wanted to go, because he was still indecisive when I met him. But for physics, I mean, just at the standstill, you'll probably take more than one calculus class. It looks like on top of differential equations, I'm sure they probably had to take Cal 1, Cal 2.
Yeah, I'm not sure why it wasn't listed on there.
Yeah, it's very strange.
Because you can't just hop the differential equations, you know. It doesn't make any sense. You have to take Calc 1, Calc 2, Calc 3.
Right.
And then you can take differential equations.
Right, right. I mean, I'm jumping.
So, yeah, so don't think you're going to bypass calculus if you're going the engineering route. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, it's MIT, so maybe they're just like,
Took it in preschool. Like the professors say, this is kindergarten.
Yeah. No, but in all seriousness, jumping ahead, there's another program called computer. So for some of you that might be debating computer science and engineering, mm-hmm. it's they have a mathematics for computer science there. They have the same introduction to programming as with Python, which is kind of nice. But then they have specifically a class called mathematics for computer science, which I had a friend who took computer science, and I don't know why he was friends with us. Oh, I'm remembering now. He was friends with us because he was a roommate of another physics friend I had, but he was always talking about taking the math for computer science class, and he was learning discrete math or something. I forget what it was called.
Yeah, discrete something. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
And he was just like, bro, this shit's so hard.
It's hard, yeah.
But then I'm like, as opposed to what? Continue? Like, are we talking about?
I never really investigated it, so I actually honestly don't know what discrete mathematics is.
It'd be funny if it was like just sums. How do you do sums? Some formulas.
I hear every time for people though, it's hard.
Like in computer science, I hear it all the time. Look, it can't be harder than anything physics already do.
I don't know. Yeah, everything's already hard, right?
Sorry, not to shit on computer science people, but I mean. I'm not sure what goes into... Apparently, that's a make or break for a lot of computer science people because I kid you not how many times computer science people would come up to me and just be like, yeah, that discrete math and sucks. So, hey, don't assume computer science is not going to already include math because it is.
Right. Computer science is definitely going to include math.
Yeah, he needed actually to take Cal 1 and Cal 2, and he didn't. He failed Cal 1.
Ah.
So...
I see.
So that's already a bad sign.
Right.
It's already a bad sign.
I didn't do that well in Calc 1 either, though.
Neither did I.
I got a C in that class.
Yeah, but look at where you are now, Terrence.
I know.
You did it, man.
Out of grad school without a degree.
No, but you got your bachelor's. So.
Right, right.
So roaming the streets as a bachelor. But that's, I mean, look, for me, I got a... I took a calculus the first time in the hubris of me, though, because I was like, oh, yeah, I'll take the honors one. Mm. It ripped me a new one.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, you said you got a C, right, as well?
Yeah. It literally was like, I'm going to make my own hole. And it was just like, I was like, no, please, no.
Yeah, it's kind of because that's also like one of those first classes you take from high school, right? You're just kind of.
Sorry if my joke was a little too graphic, but.
Yeah, we'll put a video of you, actually.
No. No. No, but it was literally just like, just punching, just like, it was like in Dragon Ball Z, punching holes inside of me. Like just it was really bad. Like it because especially it's a shock to your system if you've never seen calculus, because it's such a powerful tool and you want to go deeper if you're like a really deep learner, or if you're somebody who tries to learn something deeply and really understand it in its framework, this is a subject that is trying to it's developed for at least what, 200 years?
Probably 700 years.
And it's condensed down into a 3-month course that you only that you attend twice in a week. So the naivete of me to be like, I'm going to learn all of calculus.
It's a good class, though. I mean, calculus is one of those like hugely important mathematics that just has a massive return on investment when you learn it.
Yeah. So what would you recommend to engineering kids? Like, to prepare, like basically prepare themselves, like that is
for what, calculus?
Yeah,
I mean, if you take it in high school, that's a good advantage. If not, then take it in college. No rush, I don't think. Yeah, just go with the flow of whatever your schedule is. You know, if you take it freshman year, that's fine.
Yeah, I would say take it as soon as possible because then it'll make or break you, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I don't want to say that. It will definitely show you if this is the field for you quite early, though.
That's what I mean.
Because you're going to have to know. Yeah, the math is only going to get harder.
Right.
Well, but if you get through calculus, then you're pretty straight, I feel like.
But I think calculus is one of the earth-shattering. That's what I'm saying.
Like, yeah, it's one of those ones that kind of shows you, like, do you want to go this way or not?
Yeah. Yeah.
If you like it and you enjoy it, then I would urge you to stay on the course. Then.
Just so you know, the first calculus, you have to become, it's almost like you have to become Sisyphus. You have to imagine
holding the world up.
Yeah. Well, no, he's rolling. He's condemned.
He's rolling the hill up.
Rolling the boulder up a hill.
Oh, I see. This is the first bout of pushing the boulder up the hill. Yeah. And now there's no going back.
Yeah. You have to imagine Sisyphus happy, as Camus said. To keep going, you have to imagine he's enjoying the pain.
Mm.
You know. So that's kind of what I'm telling you. Well, yeah, it's kind of like it's all painful, really, but you have to find meaning in the labor of it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Or at least you have already ascribed some meaning to the, like, I'm actually learning something really hard and it's rewarding in that sense. Mm-hmm. So please don't shy away from that. In physics, you will have to do 3 calculus courses.
Yeah.
As opposed to
engineering.
I think a lot of them do have to take. No, yeah. I think a lot of them have to take Cal 2.
Yeah, and 3.
No, not Cal 3. No, because in my engineering program there were no engineers.
Oh.
It cut off at 2.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Okay.
What about you? Do you remember?
No, well, my school didn't have engineering.
Oh.
So.
Wait, where? Which one? Oh, wait, don't say that.
My undergrad institution.
Oh, okay. That's interesting. I'm surprised that they didn't have that.
Well, we had another school that was already a giant school, so I think they probably thought it was redundant.
They were just like, yeah, actually.
They're like, we're never going to get anybody.
We'll let them take care of it.
Right.
That makes sense.
Probably unnecessary.
Yeah, that makes sense. But usually the cutoff, from what I remember, it was mostly mathematicians and physicists at Calculus 3.
Mm, I see.
I don't know how it is at MIT. You'd have to check your program, but I think more than likely the cutoff is at 2. Calculus 1 is you're just learning how to do derivatives, and then Calculus 2, you're learning how to do integrals.
So, well, you learn how to do integrals in both.
Well,
Calc 2 is like you just go next level on integrals.
Right. Yeah. But I'm saying, like, you're kind of in Calculus 1, when you get to it, you'll see it. The end, they treat it like on the next episode of Calculus.
Right.
And it's like literally the last maybe week or two of Calculus is spent on integrals.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you get like a sneak peek and you're like, oh, I'm going to have to wait for this one. But anyway, so let's see what other common core they have here. So for the computer science and engineering, they have to take a robotics class, some communication network stuff. But here we go, the computer science requirements. You have to take computation structures, introduction to algorithms, fundamentals of programming, elements of software construction. So it looks like a bunch of software stuff and programming. And then
They got artificial intelligence and introduction to machine learning. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a huge one these days. So
physics don't got any of that.
No, physics doesn't really have. We're kind of behind on the whole on the whole machine learning AI frontier in physics. Mm-hmm. We had a course in graduate school I took that was a really new elective kind of course on machine learning, but it was just a horrible class. I stopped going after like the second time. I was like, this is a waste of time. Just so badly prepared. But that just shows you that physics is kind of like, I would say most schools in physics are kind of really behind in terms of machine learning, artificial intelligence. I mean, as we said,
go off, Terrence.
You don't even do programming, right?
Go off, man.
So, I mean, it's like, this is not very,
would you say they're stuck
laid out in physics?
Would you say they're stuck in Newton's times?
No, I wouldn't say that because, I mean, they're doing modern stuff, you know. But they are a little behind. I mean, I feel like I was a little bit disappointed with the physics and, like, integration with computers. Mm-hmm. Like, physicists are not really that well integrated with computers, although, you know, people do simulations and things and they mm-hmm. use computers, but I feel like they don't use it nearly to the effect that it should be used. Mm-hmm. Like, to me, I mean, that seems like that's, like, one of the ways modern physics needs to go, because, you know, computers are just such a powerful utility. Why would you not be using them?
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, we already use them in research. Like, I had to pick up two languages. I mean, I don't know, no disrespect to Wolfram, and shout out to Wolfram and the people at the Wolfram Project, but I did learn Mathematica and their little, it's not really a language. You think so?
Yeah, I mean, you do commands and things for it. I mean,
yeah,
but kind of. It's its own language.
I guess maybe it's not given as much respect as the others, but it is a computational. It's a computational language.
Yeah,
I would consider it.
It's
one.
It's like R or MATLAB, kind of.
Right, and I got pretty good at it for my Quantum 2 class, my Quantum Mechanics 2 class.
Right.
Because you have some really hideous integrals sometimes. Yeah. So,
I think I used Maple during that time.
Oh yeah, in a graduate
weird
syntax.
Class. Yeah, yeah.
That's very true.
Yeah, I jealous of your that. Mathematica, but you paid for it or something, or you had like a pirated copy or something from one of your
buddies.
Don't say
that too loud.
I mean, perfectly legal.
All respect, all pays, all dues paid.
Scratch it from the record.
No, but I think. No, I had a copy. I had a student copy version from my undergraduate.
Yeah.
That hadn't expired. Yeah.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, I would have had to pay for it, so I didn't use it. And I wound up using Maple, which is another kind of like similar language. You can do crazy integrals and things on it. So.
Yeah. So the in physics, the programming is it's kind of like learn as you go. A lot of professors kind of have like their own. It's more context-based to your research.
Yeah. And you learn specific techniques for your research. Like some people will do Monte Carlo simulation type stuff. In my institution, we did a lot of the Landau-Lipschitz-Gilbert equation, which was, you know, magnetic moments equation. So it's real specializer. And then, of course, like the nuclear physicists would use GN4, which is the simulation software for particle physics stuff. So it gets kind of real specialized in your programming.
Yeah. Do you think that's a good thing for physicists?
I mean, yeah, it's fine. I think I would like to see physicists have more general programming knowledge.
Yeah,
though.
Same. I would appreciate that too.
Because, you know, I think you can make more clever kind of experimental setups that way. All of the specialized stuff isn't bad. It's just like when you can specialize program, you can do kind of more interesting things, I feel like. Have more automated systems, and like one of the guys in my research group, he didn't know how to do programming at all, really, and he couldn't really do the data acquisition for the experiments that well. Like, he was struggling with it because he hadn't done any programming before.
Yeah, like shout out to my advisor, but in my physics, in my physics group, he would actually do everything manually using like a data integration software program called Origin. So I became very versatile in it. And you can do command functions and stuff, but...
And you can actually program in Origin.
You can.
I think you can program C++ in there.
Yeah.
Or one of the Cs.
You can, but he preferred doing the manual, like, just to double-check everything. But, I had a postdoc in my lab that used Python to output graphs and sequences, and I was like, how did you do that? It was like a magic trick. Because he was like, yeah, I mean, it would take my advisor like half a day to do what he did in like 2 minutes,
right?
Probably less.
Right, so programming can really up your game, I feel like.
So
yeah, definitely look into that.
So if you're a physicist, sorry, but you will not get much programming. If you love programming, you will not really find it in physics unless they offer a degree that's like specifically.
They have computational
physics
stuff.
Yeah.
You can navigate towards that, and it will give you kind of an advantage too. I feel like in some sense.
Yeah, And I think nowadays it's probably easier to like have or choose that as your sort of how would you say
field.
Your concentration.
Yeah.
Because it has more legitimacy. When I was an undergrad about 10 years ago, it wasn't computational physics. People would be like, "What the hell? Why are you going to bother with that?"
Yeah,
there was
kinda.
Still it was still kind of like it still had this like. I mean,
it just wasn't
still,
really that done.
Yeah, it wasn't, and I mean nowadays you do have it has a little more legitimacy, and definitely the job market helps for it. Look, and I'm going to be upfront about it. A lot of physicists that graduate with their PhDs end up going to data science, or they end up getting pulled into data science.
Yeah, and programming will massively help you on that front.
Yep,
if you can manipulate plots and data, I mean, you're golden for a job.
Yeah. So, and that's huge. And as somebody who's, Terrence, both you and I have both been looking to job markets.
Yeah.
And that's a huge
thing to look
for.
Yeah, they always request that kind of stuff, yeah.
And trust me, they'll test you.
And whatever the hell SQL is, you got to learn that too. That's on every fucking application.
SQL.
If you want an in on jobs.
Yeah. Just preparing you for the future here, kids.
Or SQL, however you say it.
SQL, yeah.
I say SQL, but I think some people say SQL.
Yeah, it's and don't trust certification programs. I almost got duped into having a course.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Some MIT people were like, "You're in." I was like, "I'm in? I just put my name in and send my resume." That
right.
Was it. And they're like, "Yes, but please pay us $1,200.
Oh, one of these
and
things.
I was like,
it's an MIT Ponzi scheme.
I was like, how did MIT sign off on this? Like, they're using MIT's name to do programming.
It's
like,
actually like M1T instead of MIT. We're not MIT, we're M1T.
Yeah. It's M lowercase I T.
Or what? It's like MLT. lowercase L. MIT, no, this is MLT.
Oh no, that almost happened. That legitimately almost happened. So nice try, scammers. You're getting it's not a scam. It's a legitimate thing, but there are ways to
pay massive amounts of money.
They just get people that are interested in supplementing their programming.
Yeah.
But anyway,
don't pay for shit. You can get a bunch of courses online for free.
Yeah. Don't speaking of, MIT does those. So.
Yeah. Exactly. Coursera also has some.
Mm-hmm. Anyway. But anyway, so it looks like they have their own advanced undergraduate subjects. So it looks like you can get a concentration, which you can also do in physics. But then we also have...
Tried and true, electrical engineering.
Yeah, the straight up electrical engineering. And this is the one that's often most compared directly to physics.
Yeah. I feel like experimentalists and electrical engineers share a lot of things in common. Mm-hmm. You know, I like to call a physicist, basically when people ask me what's the difference between an experimental physicist and engineer, I say basically an experimental physicist is an engineer that never leaves a prototyping phase. So what I mean by that is like experimentalists, we have a lot of engineering type skills, like especially condensed matter if you want to really get closer. Even so we can build things, you know, make like volt meters and stuff and all this kind of rudimentary equipment, but all of our shit looks like hell. We've got tin foil wrapped on vacuum chambers and like wood blocks holding up entire experimental setups and, you know, pieces cut onto wire, like, you know, two wires is taped together with duct tape, like,
yep.
It, like, if you go to a physics lab, you'll see it looks like hell. Like,
yeah, it does.
It just looks like Hillbilly's version of like engineering projects. Whereas the engineers, you know, they'll do the prototyping phase like that. That might look similar, but then, you know, they'll eventually move on to
refine the actual
production, you know, and then have a nice, you know, refined product, shiny and new, and it looks nice. So the physicist, though, once we're done with the experiment, oh, we're done, you know, or we don't really care after that, and then we move on.
It's a Rube Goldberg machine.
Yeah, like, and shit always is held together like by a thread, and
so
you've got
like,
weird fixes, so you have to like, oh, I need to like hold this down while I turn this because the graduate student before did this in a fucked up way, so.
Yeah, everything works off of the lowest energy principle, like, and lowest cost principle.
What do you mean?
in physics, like in physics labs, like everything is just like, if you don't, if it doesn't need to be replaced,
oh yeah,
like, you know, so you'll be using old, you'll be using old ass equipment.
Yeah.
And yeah, there's all this, yeah, it's.
And people make things, you know, there's always shifting graduate students. They make things in weird ways because graduate students are really not trained to do any of this stuff. So all your lab skills are all learned on the job. Like, you don't study any of this stuff. Physics classes are all theory. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no like hands-on stuff except maybe lab
classes, but even like, then they're not.
Yeah, it's like barely, right? Like all
it's
your
like, how
skills,
does a ball roll? Like
right. And then you're taking data on an Excel sheet. It's like the most of your physical, you know, kind of like hands-on skills are all in lab.
Yeah. So, by the way, that's
real
one
lab.
Thing. Yeah. In electrical engineering, I sat down in an electrical engineering lab just for fun.
Yeah.
And the amount of skills that they learned was like the what physicists play with literally feel like toys.
Yeah.
Compared to what engineers have.
Right.
Because they're learning like they're doing I was sitting in a circuits lab,
mm-hmm.
and they were like actually learning all the components of circuits and
right.
could actually, you know, they were learning all the, they knew how the board worked. It was kind of a smaller, more basic board, but. I didn't know anything about it, and I was like, I can't tell you anything about what does what here and there.
You mean like the breadboards, the little training boards?
Yeah, like circuit boards. I'm not sure what they're called.
The breadboards are usually like the little white with the holes in it.
No, it wasn't that. I think it was an actual like silicon board,
okay,
and they were messing
like,
with stuff.
Okay, yeah, circuit board.
Yeah, it was an actual circuit board, and they were like playing with stuff, and I was like, wow, you guys know how to do this? And they were like, yeah, and this was like a second year undergrad, and I was like,
right.
shit. And I'm over here in the physics lab, like, just we're all trying to figure out how a switch works, like one little measly little switch,
right?
It's honestly pathetic. Like, I mean,
that's the other thing in physics is like thing. Versus engineering is like, one of the things that really used to annoy me back in the day with experimental setups was, you know, physicists know everything in theory, right?
Mm-hmm.
We know everything, how to build it, kind of like just we know how to build stuff and we know what we need to build them.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll write it on the paper and say, ah, yeah, there it is.
Yeah,
but then as soon as you actually try to do it in real life, none of your shit works. And that's the thing that I think engineers have an advantage of, because in real life, there's a lot of, it works in theory, but then when you actually go to do it, your shit is not working.
Yeah.
It's because real life, there's all kinds of variables, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, sometimes the turn it on and turn it off again and then your thing all of a sudden works happens a lot.
Yeah.
So you have to get that kind of intuition for experiment in physics, whereas engineering, you kind of are given that through your coursework.
Yep.
So if you kind of like to get that intuition and everything through your course, then engineering might be the better way to go. Physics, it's like you kind of can get that if you're an experimentalist in the lab. If you're a theorist, you'll just never get it. And then you're just basically useless to do anything in real life.
Yeah, seriously. And that's one of the things that I found annoying with my lab professor. He was just like, I'm a theorist.
Yeah.
And he would just be like, I don't know how any of this works. And I was just like...
Right. Theorists are basically the farthest away from engineers, if you want to talk about the farthest profession in physics.
Yeah.
Condensed matter experimentalists, I would say, is probably the closest to, like, you know, electrical engineers.
Yeah, and I think actually most experimentalists, period, are closer to, they have to know more programming, probably.
Yeah.
Say?
Some more than others.
Some more than others, but also just like, you know, we kind of work at the ground level. Like our research, Terrence and I's research is in condensed matter experimental physics.
Mm-hmm.
We kind of work from like scratch, like things, building things literally from
starting
materials.
We know all the fundamentals of things, which is where we shine more than engineers, because we can build these things from literally from scratch.
Yeah.
Like if I thought about it long enough, I could build a computer from scratch.
Yeah.
Like I would have to think about all of the moving parts and everything. Like, I don't know it now, but I know I'm confident enough to know that I know the physics to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
An engineer, probably not.
Right.
They would have to look all the information up
because
they don't have that fundamental knowledge.
Like, I think And electrical engineers, by the way, I know that they have to take a course in electricity and magnetism as part of their they have to take E&M. They do Maxwell's equations. So you will see some physics. And in fact, electrical engineers also have to take quantum mechanics.
Oh, do they now?
Yeah, they
do. Oh, really?
Yeah. For yeah, especially for like electronics. Like if your specialization is in like fabrication and
that makes sense.
Stuff like that.
Like nanotechnology. Device and that fabrication. Kind of stuff. Yeah, that makes sense. You're gonna have to take quantum then for sure. Right? Because that's all it is.
So you if you're an electrical engineering that wants to get electrical engineer that wants to get into like device manufacturing or
Making like silicon dyes and like really small microchips, transistors like in computers and things.
You need to do quantum. You're basically going to be doing that. This is what me and Terrence are saying. Like, that's the closest to physics that you will get as an engineer.
Yeah.
As an engineer.
And that's cool as fuck shit. I mean, that's what I really wanted to do for a long time as well, like device fabrication.
Yeah. And that to me was like the big, to me personally, that was the biggest decision I made because you will touch on the physics, but you also have the application side.
Yeah.
And that was a big debate for me, picking physics over electrical engineering. Mm. And because at the end of the day, what differentiates the two is physics is more scientific. Mm-hmm. It's less application oriented, and it's more about the knowledge acquisition as opposed to the, how would you say?
Like getting a product created. Yeah. Like physicists, you'll hear them say all day, like when you ask them what's the application for this, they'll love the classic line of, oh, there doesn't need to be an application in physics. Yeah. It's about the knowledge, which is true. But for me, when I say that, I'm like a little bit noise. I'm like, there's always kind of an application. Like you could say, oh, I'm studying this to see if we can get further in like researching superconductors or something. Mm. Like that's kind of an application, but I see what they mean.
Yeah.
There's no direct application all the time like you would have in engineering with, let's say, like, oh, we're doing it to make a better battery or something.
Yeah. Which sometimes does happen in condensed matter physics. So that's what I'm saying. Like, there is some overlap.
Yeah.
Like, especially if you're a chemical engineer, let's say you're doing batteries tech stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then you probably... actually, what would a chemical engineer kind of physics you would need to know? Stat-mech, probably? Statistical mechanics?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe even quantum and chemical engineering, depending on what you do.
Yeah, I had a friend who took, who did a chemistry, no, was it a, it was, he had to take like a quantum chemistry class, which was quantum one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. So good luck to you. Good luck to you. Good luck to anybody taking quantum mechanics if you're an engineer.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
it's tough.
It's tough, and it's even because if we as physicists are scratching our heads.
Right.
Actually, you know what's interesting? And some of you probably have a better intuition when you're taking quantum applied. Because now that I think about it, chemists, like the chemists that I've talked to, I didn't have a good concept of quantum until I got to graduate school.
Yeah, same.
Because it really honed in the orbital stuff.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Oh, for chemistry.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because that's kind of crazy how long where it
integrates.
Takes.
Yeah, because that's where it integrates your previous known knowledge about like chemistry and orbitals.
Yeah, it's kind of a funny aside. Like, you know, you learn all this SPDL, whatever in chemistry, and you're like, what is this, man? You're like, what is this? And you only learn about really that knowledge when you get to quantum, I feel like. Like, you finally start to understand and put those pieces together, like, oh, this is how they got all this stuff.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool.
I know.
I think I only put those pieces together, you know, in graduate school quantum.
Yeah. Same here, yeah.
So it just shows you why they have to just tell you to regurgitate it when you're in undergraduate, because it takes all the way to graduate quantum to really get to that understanding. Kind of crazy. Anyway,
it is. But and I mean, like, and you'll see some of that in electrical engineering. Though I was gonna say, you don't necessarily have to learn all the SPDF, but sometimes they will talk about like d orbital stuff, and you'll learn more band theory, which is called which you do see a lot in condensed matter.
Yeah, I mean, that's bread and butter for condensed matter.
Yeah.
And that's all about what's an easy way to characterize that?
Would like you band say theory? One?
Yeah.
How electrons behave in the material.
The material.
Yeah.
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 So it's like an easy map, but it is hard. And if you're more interested in that, then physics is for you. If you're more interested on the applications side of it, then maybe engineering is
right.
For you.
But yeah. You can have your cake and eat it too, in both sides, really, in some sense. Just a matter of like,
which one you prefer more? Do you think it's like a 60-40? Which one?
Yeah,
which one?
I think so, because I mean, you can lean real heavily on the physics side as an engineer, mm-hmm. and vice versa, you can lean real engineering heavy on the physics side. I mean, I feel like we kind of leaned real engineering heavy
yeah,
in some
we,
sense
we
on the physics side.
Yeah,
you know, so it's like if you just want to have both worlds, you know, go with the one that you're kind of more passionate about, and then if you want to kind of scoot a little closer to the other side, you can do that. I mean, that's literally what me and Juan pretty much did here as experimental condensed matter physicists. I mean, mm-hmm. we're very in line with a lot of engineering stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say that electrical engineers have an added benefit of taking an actual circuits electronics class, signal processing. Yeah.
And I would highly recommend you take electronics if you're a physicist and you want to go, like, let's say if you're interested in like me and Juan's route, mm-hmm. kind of experimental physics, but kind of leaning towards the practical engineering side in some mm-hmm. sense. I made the mistake of taking condensed matter over electronics, which I kind of regret. Yeah. I really wish I would have taken electronics more, because I still don't really have a great conception of circuits as much mm-hmm. as I'd like. Like,
same
I really
here.
Wish I learned more about like op amps and like, you know, more about like kind of grounding, like to understand really grounding.
Yeah. I bought like
and then
a
some
little,
of the other stuff.
Yeah. I bought a little circuits book, because it's all differential equations.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, like I looked at the book, the subject matter book, and it was just like, and that's kind of the opening line. It was just like, all you really need for this is differential equations, which is just calculus. Mm-hmm. And actually, that's one of the core classes. So, I mean, they're not lying about that. You just use differential equations, but they're nasty, very nasty string, because there's so many components that require you do big derivatives for long strings of algebra, you know, because you have circuits that are like, you know, in physics, we have Ohm's law and
whatever.
We have resistors and anyway, there's a certain representation that you can put when you need calculus to solve this huge circuit board.
Right.
I can't remember the details of it, but
I don't know.
But yeah, it's apparently disgusting.
I'm sure it is.
And you have to use like Kirchhoff's rules, and you have to like circle the circuits, and you have to do that own separate calculation, and then. But
yeah, understanding circuits is really useful if you're trying to go into like electrical stuff.
Yeah. And by the way, I say all that like I know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But this is like stuff that we're introduced as physicists. We're all introduced in theory because
what?
Like I was just naming Ohm's law is one of the things that we're taught. Mm-hmm. We're taught very basic rudimentary electronic stuff, right?
Yeah. But also a little bit of advanced stuff in some sense
too.
What do
you mean? Because do you think that's enough to survive, pretty much?
Yeah, I think it is, because we can derive a lot of the stuff, you know.
Sure.
Especially with condensed matter as well. You can couple with condensed matter class.
Well, I was saying like straight circuit stuff.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Like Ohm's law and what is all the Kirchhoff's
rules. I'm not
sure
how much really more engineers learn than that. They learn mostly like how to build circuits. They don't learn the fundamental stuff. Mm-hmm. So our fundamentals could, in theory, I think, carry us forward. Mm-hmm. But it's just that we don't know all of this stuff that's already known of, like, how an LRC circuit really works in actuality and, like, how to combine those different elements. Mm-hmm. Like, I know what an LRC circuit is. I could probably derive the properties and stuff and then make more out of it. But engineers have a more, like, quicker recall of these things because they actually use this stuff.
Yeah. And Terrence knows an engineer, so he has a very good pull comparison.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, kind of. He's still a physicist, but
Is he? I thought he was a full engineer.
He's a physicist. He went the physics route, but he's definitely like more of an engineering mind, I would say.
Oh, gotcha.
But he got the same education as me, pretty much undergraduate-wise.
Mm-hmm. But he like went straight to engineering post?
Yeah.
Post-physics?
Oh, pretty much, yeah.
Dang.
But he's always been an engineer in some sense.
Engineer at heart?
Yeah, for sure.
Well, maybe he's a good example of like, of maybe he, did he want to do, he was a guy in physics that wanted to do engineering
more?
Yeah,
100%. Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay.
He just couldn't get into the engineering school. So. Which is hilarious though, because he's like, he's smart as fuck. I mean, he's like probably better than any engineer that I've ever known. So it just shows you, it doesn't really matter sometimes if you can't get in, you know, make your way. He's a great example of make your way.
Yeah. Do you think he would have, if he could go back, he would have chosen engineering?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Okay. He wanted to choose engineering now. He couldn't do it. So he'd go the physics.
Well, because I'm trying to wonder, like, if it was, physics was actually rewarding for him.
It was, I'm sure. Because he got more interesting knowledge that he might not have gotten in engineering.
I see.
Some good connections as well, you know.
Sure.
You know, he gets to work on cool scientific projects.
Yeah.
You know, maybe instead of, like, working in, like, a IBM facility or something. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think he probably got a lot from it.
Yeah, I wonder about that because for me, it's like, do I have any regrets about choosing physics over engineering? Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, I'd probably say the more regrets of just having a normal life.
Yeah, exactly.
With a decent salary.
And that is one huge, thing that...
That's probably a giant part of choice between physics versus engineering. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, you can just get a bachelor's in engineering and you can be making, you know, probably 100K within a few years.
Speak on
it,
Terrence.
And then with physics, I mean, don't hold your breath pretty much when it comes to like, when it comes to like academia, like,
yeah,
the odds of you getting an academic job are just slim, slim as fuck in physics.
Yeah, but let's say you're one of these people that are like, I like physics and I like... Let's say I like experimental physics.
Yeah.
What are the prospects of me finding a job?
I mean, well, any job you mean?
Well, let's say it's you want to do more like R&D kind of stuff.
You can. Yeah. You can do that.
But
you know.
Who do you think has a better chance?
I think engineer.
Yeah.
Engineer has a better chance. Engineer has a better chance in the job market pretty much in general over a physicist. But that's not saying that a physicist can't, you know, be valuable. It's better if you have more skills that are marketable, though. So if you want to be in a job like, let's say, an R&D or something, then it'd be nice if you had some of those skills that the engineer would have as well as your physics background. Mm-hmm. So engineer will prepare you more like out of the gate. Like as soon as you get a degree in engineering, you're pretty much set to go to get a job.
You're the bell of the ball.
Yeah.
Like in you're the job like, market, 100%.
Yeah, people are like, they want you bad.
Clamoring.
Yeah, they're, we want you now. But the physicists, they're kind of like, huh? Yeah. They're a little bit more confused by you. People don't really know what physicists do necessarily.
You're the person at the ball with glasses. You're the ugly duckling.
But if you take the glasses off and let her hair down, I mean, damn. You're like, oh, okay.
Wow.
But you have to get the person that's going to want to actually see that.
But physics had, and also... Physics just has a better personality. No.
Right.
Well, I mean, I will say physics does have more of like, you do have to put in a lot of hours.
Yeah.
Just because the amount of math that we do at the end of the day. I mean, we do all the way to calculus 3.
No, we do more than that.
We do calculus PDEs, 3 plus differential equations. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And then,
and possibly more.
And possibly more.
You know?
Yeah. You basically get a math minor on the way to physics, which I don't think you get in engineering.
Engineering, no.
So.
Like, I was probably 2 classes away from being able to get a math major in physics. Like, that's what a lot of people do. They just double major in math and physics because they're like, I'm only 2 classes away. I mean, might as well.
Very true. I think I was kind of in the same boat because I needed to take... was some kind of math class. Maybe it was discrete math. There was some math class that I had to take, and I was like, you know what? I'm done with this.
Because
they were talking about graphs, and I was like, we're still doing graphs? Like,
what
they were talking about real space maps, and I was just like, I'm done with this. give me the application stuff, because physics is already math heavy, and I was just like, nah, I'm done talking about this wonky theory stuff.
I just wanted to get out of school. I'm like, I've been already here for like a decade. I need to get the fuck out.
But yeah, and also in physics, you have what feels like more coursework. You have a lot of...
you have less of a life for sure, I feel like, in physics. Yeah. Engineering, you can kind of go out and party every now and then. In physics, it's like... Don't hold your breath.
And I will say that that's mostly because of the culture in physics compared to engineering. So the culture in physics versus engineering. In physics, it's very much... it's still very much a... It's like a pain... Yeah, it's a pain mentality.
Yeah. There's more normal people in engineering, let's just straight up be real.
Noble?
Normal.
Oh, they said noble people. I was like, whoa. Excuse me, calling physicists immoral. No, there are more normal people in engineering, and I have meaning in the sense that they're a lot less, they're a lot more tied. They've touched grass, is what we're trying to say.
There's a little bit more of a work life balance in engineering.
Yeah.
It's still a little bit crazy, but less so than physics. Physics is insanity, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I have a friend of mine who came from engineering into physics. And he was just like, this is insane.
Yeah.
He's like, this is insane. He was sitting in, we're studying for a quantum exam. And he was like, dude, this is crazy. I'm going to go back to engineering.
But the nice thing a little bit about undergraduate or about physics is that it is kind of so insane, even undergraduate, that I feel like the transition to the grad school is probably a little bit more diminished than somebody who's coming from a different graduate school program. Or for an undergraduate degree in another program. Like,
right.
Because everything's insane at the PhD level, pretty much. Mm-hmm. But if you're already kind of operating at an insane level already in physics, then it's a little bit less of pain as soon as you go to graduate school.
Yeah.
Because you're already used to kind of some of that.
It's like, you ever see your car, like the car is like RPM thing? Like in physics undergrad, it's like you're at maybe... Let's say your car starts redlining at 7,000 RPMs. In undergrad physics, you're at 5.
Yeah, you're like at 5K.
And you're like, oh man, this is hard. And I'm holding it there.
Right.
But in graduate school, you're starting to redline. You're like, 7,000. Holy shit. And the car's shaking. You're just
But other people are kind of like the engineer may be like 3K.
Yeah.
And then they go to 7,000. They're like, oh my God. What is this?
Yeah.
It's more of a shock.
Exactly. Yeah. The amount of the change of inertia is just like, it sends the skin around their faces to the, like, you know, you ever seen those like,
oh, it's like pulling their skin back. It's from the sheer G forces. Yeah. So if you're more of a masochist, go physics. That's the bottom line.
Yeah. I 100%. That is not something that we're kidding about. No, I know we're laughing, but it's because of the residual pain that's there. Right.
And nobody ever really believes it until you're in it.
Yeah.
You'll see. It feels kind of pathological, but I mean. You know, that's what it takes to get there. If you want to be at that level, you got to operate that level.
Yeah, I mean, we literally did an episode of how to be like a God tier or Chad tier physicist. Mm-hmm. And even the professor there said, it's 5 years of just straight, like, basically hyperbolic time chamber type fucking training shit.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're busting your ass for real. You will bust your ass. I don't care who you are.
I don't think I've ever met an engineer that's like, you're going to bust your ass. It's always just like,
they're kind of chill.
Yeah, it's always very chill. The professors I've met are super chill, and they love, if anything, they like physicists.
Yeah.
Because they have a
they have a respect for physicists. Engineers have a pretty high respect for physicists, I feel like. So they're like, you guys really know what's up. Like, yeah.
Well, the professors do, but the students don't.
No, they do.
The students?
Have a respect for physicists?
The students, the ones that I met in my undergrad, were always just so like, ha ha, like, we're going to make more money than you.
Oh, right.
And I was just like,
the engineers do win it kind of at the end of the day.
Yeah, a lot of, I mean,
Because the value of an engineer bachelor's degree is definitely more valuable than a physics bachelor's degree.
Yeah, let's
draw. A PhD, though, in physics is highly valuable.
Right.
But a bachelor's in physics is lesser value than an engineering bachelor's degree. For
right,
sure.
Across the board in terms of like effort values. Let's put it on the scale. So effort value on the Y, and then, hold on, maybe
it's going to be hard to draw.
Actually, this is kind of hard to draw. What I'm trying to compare actually are the degrees versus effort.
Yeah. So you're going to put more effort into a physics degree, and your degree is going to be worth less in bachelor's.
Yes.
So really in physics, you're going to be doing it for the love of the game. Like, the knowledge is the key. Mm-hmm. So if you just love to learn and you love knowledge, go physics.
Yeah.
Engineering, you're going to have a lot more. You're going to have a higher value for lesser time or effort as well. So if
you probably will sacrifice real understanding.
Yeah. Like, so if you're not as concerned about actually knowing all the fundamental knowledge and stuff, then go engineering. You'll have also more of a balanced life as well, probably, because you know, you can kind of have a better starting salary, and you can have more opportunity to make a family and that kind of thing. So engineering is probably better in that sense. Mm-hmm. But then when you get to graduate school, engineering is kind of stupid to go to graduate school for. Like, people kind of scoff at you if you go to graduate school in engineering. It's kind of like, what are you, a physicist? So it's kind of like, you can do it, but it's kind of weird. It's odd.
Yeah, we know one guy that transitioned, went from physics to electrical engineering.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I asked him one time, I was like, hey, what the hell are you doing? How was the transition? And he was just like, well, like, you basically, it's like you take on a more specialized, like, you get really, it's, how do I say this? You just get hyper specialized in one thing for electrical engineering. So you become, like, let's say it's robotics. You just become really good at that robotics thing.
Right, right.
Where in physics, it's the same thing in physics.
Well,
we were joking about it a couple episodes ago, where it's like, in physics, grad school is like New Game Plus.
Yeah, yeah. That's the courses, though.
Right, but in engineering,
because you're still doing the hyper specialization in your research.
Well, no, in engineering, it's basically like you're trying to let's say you're an electrical engineer.
Yeah.
Now you're taking quantum mechanics at the level that a physicist would understand it at. Mm-hmm. You know, because you need to.
Right, right.
Because you need to understand how devices or transistors, or how would you say, field effect transistors work.
Right. So an engineer in graduate school is basically approaching a physicist now.
Right.
Yeah. So it's like, if you really are an engineer and you thought, oh, I wanted this life of, you know, the good life and the money, but then you're still feeling sad, like, oh, I really wanted the knowledge, you can just go to graduate school and you'll be fine.
You can. Yeah, you can. Yeah, legitimately.
So that's why these things are not set in stone. Like, there's ways to get to where you want.
Yeah.
And even if you're not completely sure, you can just hop into something and then you'll eventually get your way there. Mm-hmm. What was I going to say? With physics, the physics, kind of the golden path for physicists is to go to graduate school. Like, a lot of times you're assuming that most physicists are just going to go to graduate school and then get the PhD. And then you're kind of a real, you know, a real ass physicist once you've got the PhD.
Yep.
Like, me and Juan are kind of like scrubs in the physics game because we have no PhDs, which is kind of like, yikes.
It's like
not yikes. I mean, I'm exaggerating, but it's kind of unusual.
In the physics realm, in the physics realm, you're kind of looked at as like,
didn't make it.
No, sort of, but I feel like it's kind of like, it has this like, it feels like they treat bachelor's as an elementary student.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you're kindergarten.
Right.
And then, you know, and then middle school is like, I don't know, master's or something.
Right, right.
And then high PhD school is PhD.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so stupid, though. It's so stupid.
I mean, it is what it is, though, right? It is what it is.
That is the culture, but that gives you a snapshot of what the culture is in physics.
Yeah.
It's like,
physicists prize knowledge first and foremost. Like, they want you to be the shit in terms of your understanding and depth of knowledge.
Yeah.
Engineers pride you getting this shit made and getting this shit, you know, fixed.
Getting it done.
You know, getting it done. And, you know, that's it. Like, companies just want you to make sure that shit works, looks good. here's a bunch of money.
Yeah. Make it work. Turns on. Good job.
Right.
Here's a raise.
So that's the two paths, I guess, pretty much.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, there are a couple others on the list that I was debating talking about. Like, yeah. There's civil engineering. There's mechanical engineering. Mm-hmm. There's also nuclear science engineering, but
I'm not even sure what that is.
Huh?
I'm not even sure what that is.
Let's give a little quick. Let's see what they got. Let's see real quick. I know this is the show's coming to a close here, but for the nuclear science, they say, oh, okay, nuclear science. You have to take physics 3, physics whatever 1, physics means. 2, physics 3.
So just modern physics?
I guess so.
Okay.
Differential equations is it's kind of standard. Thermal fluids engineering.
Is this for like fusion reactors, fission reactors?
I guess so. And then required core subjects, applied nuclear physics, nuclear systems.
Yes, this is probably like related to energy, I imagine.
Neutron science, reactor physics, engineering of nuclear systems, fusion energy.
Right. Yeah. So if you want to work in like nuclear reactors and such, then I guess this is useful because you need to know like meltdown conditions and all this kind of more physics realm kind of stuff.
Yeah, it'd be funny if you're like, I want to be a nuclear engineer, and you decide to do physics. It's like, oh no, this ain't it. Like, it really isn't. Like, physics is not going to do what this covers.
Not like those systems, no.
No, not at all.
But, I mean, physicists like me and Juan, we do no nuclear physics stuff, so.
Mm.
I mean, I know a good bit about, you know, nuclear radiation and fission and fusion and all that kind of stuff. Nuclear reactions, decays. But, you know, I don't know anything about, like, how to build reactors or anything. I know there's a steam engine.
Yeah.
So I could probably build one from first principles if I thought long enough, but that's the difference between engineers and physicists. The engineers they have all the tools, the modern tools and all these things to already know what to pretty much do in the reactors and how to build them and how they work. Like for me, I'd have to come up with it with a pencil and paper.
Yeah, no, I was going to say that, well, just touching on the last couple, like mechanical engineering, it's they have to take mechanics and materials, dynamics and control, whatever that means. I think it's just so dynamics and control is they model, analyze, and control dynamic systems. It's mechanical, electrical, and electromechanical systems, actuators, sensors. They have some linear algebra, Laplace response, poles, and whatever that means. Just a bunch of electronics. It's kind of like a jargon of stuff, really.
Yeah.
But, man.
Okay.
It seems more like you kind of get in engineering, it just seems to be like a running learn as you go. You don't really go too deep into things.
No.
Yeah.
And it's mostly for that specific kind of area.
Yeah, like
they just wanted to know. They want you to know about that particular area.
Physics is more holistic.
Yeah,
you're literally trying to understand the universe.
Yeah, you're trying to understand the mechanics of everything. Basically, that's why the physicists have the depth of knowledge, and we can build all this stuff and understand all these things from first principles.
Yeah.
But you know, we can't just be thrown into a reactor and just know what to do. Like,
yeah. It's like the joke where you're like, "I need a doctor."
Right.
And it's like a physicist on the plane. He's like, he's choking. And just like, well, all you have to do is remove the object.
Right. The problem is solvable.
Problem solved.
In theory, there is a solution.
There's a solution. Actually, here I know how to solve your problem. He's choking, clearly.
Right.
But anyway, that's... you know what's funny? I was thinking today, I know this is an aside and we're going to close the episode, but we'll close it on this. I was thinking a physicist would be good to help rebuild society.
Yeah, for sure.
Like I was thinking, oh, the places that you could maybe get free electricity from would be, I was thinking, oh, you know, the ideal thing to look for is like a waterfall or something.
Yep.
Because then you could build a...
hydroelectric mill.
Because easy, because I mean, well, the hard part would be finding a magnetic material or refining.
Well, you don't need to have a magnetic material for that.
You don't? You wouldn't do it that way?
Let me think.
Because I was saying you could generate current.
Okay, you're saying to make electricity specifically. Yeah, yeah, okay, yeah. Sure, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you generate current by just using the mill
mm-hmm.
and moving a bar magnet.
Yeah.
And just...
And then making kind of like...
a rudimentary...
an inductor or something, like a coil, and then, yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Would there be any other way you would do it?
We've talked about this, I think, before.
Yeah, we did an episode, but it was...
That would be my number one way, probably hydroelectric, because it's just,
you know, it just makes the most sense, right? I mean... Like, you can't make photovoltaics. That requires a lot of previous knowledge.
And mega refining tools.
Yeah. So I feel like hydroelectric is probably one of the ways to go. I can't really think of anything else right now. But yeah, I feel like a physicist
geothermal,
would be...
Unless you ended up in... Unless you're one of those unique places in the world that are geothermal sites, right? Where they
but
have steam
how
pockets.
Do you make, oh, you're saying, okay, then you'd make steam, like a steam engine type deal?
Yeah, you could do that. That kind of powers a turbine or something.
You boil
You
boil alive, risking the.
Huh?
You'd almost boil yourself alive, like trying to get the.
Well, that's why you get the engineer to make it. You're just here for the theory, the calculations, you know.
Yeah. So a physicist is useful in that way. Really, a town ain't big enough for two physicists in that kind of society. You don't think so? They probably need one physicist is enough.
Probably, yeah.
Like, oh,
I feel
yeah.
like if we were like playing a Civ game or something, like a RPG kind of game, mm-hmm. like you would definitely want to invest a lot of points in your physicist.
Right.
You know, to come up with your tech really quickly.
Yeah.
But you definitely need workers and people because a physicist would be shit at building it.
As long as they can actually detail the work, then the mm-hmm. workers are better to actually execute the work.
Yeah, pretty much. I'm sure.
The engineer would be better because they would know how to do the more advanced things already. Mm. The physicist would be deriving it from scratch, and it would take a long time. Mm. So you would definitely want to buy the physicist first, though, or like buy him like in the beginning somehow.
to build your society, yeah, for sure.
To put all the sketches down and lay everything out.
Yeah. And, I mean, like, to synthesize it further, I think I'm kind of biased here, but physicists, I think, are the purest – form of a researcher, like in terms of being able to model things mathematically, like in a lot of ways, like Terrence kind of alluded to earlier, every field kind of approximates math modeling, and physicists are kind of already trained to do that from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
So you know what I mean? That makes sense.
I think not sure exactly.
Like math, what particularly, I guess? Math modeling?
Well, you just mean physicists are good at making models?
Yeah, or like just approximating, just knowing how to like match data or like trying to come up with things
like
from first principles.
Data.
Yeah, manipulate data. Yeah.
That's basically what a physicist is to me.
Yeah.
Being able to think really well from first principles and to be creative problem solver to figuring out how systems work.
Mm.
That's it.
Yep. So there you have it.
Yeah.
There you have it. Is there
wraps
anything
it up,
else?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anything else you would want to add to that?
I think that's it. I mean, leave in the comments. Would you? What side are you leaning towards? Have we changed your mind about anything? Would you rather go engineering or physics? Tell us below.
Mm, yeah. Or anything you learned that was surprising that engineers do.
Mm.
Yeah,
or if we said some wrong shit, engineers, then, you know.
Oh, yeah, if you're an engineer, maybe you can correct us.
Yeah.
I would love to.
Like, that's not it at all.
I would love to have an engineer, but unfortunately, they don't have the... They're too busy buying model cars.
You need an engineer on the show?
Driving Lambos and...
And having hot wives and husbands.
Exactly. While we're over here with T-shirts from the bargain bin at Walmart.
Yeah, I literally have like 5 shirts. You've seen them all on the podcast.
Anyway, folks, we'll see you later. All right, guys. Make sure to like, share, comment, subscribe.
Check out IgenBros.com, IgenBros on Instagram, IgenBros on Twitter, IgenBros2 on TikTok. Mm-hmm. And then patrons, guys, we thank you guys so much once again. Check us out, patreon.com/IgenBros if you want to join up. 30-minute podcast, audio podcast every week.
Sure.
And, yep, That's we will it. See you guys next week.
Peace.
Later.